Blog Talk Radio.
Why music? Why jazz? Music is the literature of the heart. It commences where speech ends. That's a quote from De Lamartine. Music is the literature of the heart. Your invitation has arrived. You might think it impertinent of me to bring this up, but I feel compelled and will explain myself fully and hope to your completest satisfaction. Where I am a Freemason, like you, I experience the effects of Masonry on people around me in varying degrees. And I will admit to you, this is one of my secrets. I see unhappiness, and it surprises me, and doesn't surprise me at the same time. For the longest time, I was sensing something wasn't in order, but could not find the words to explain it to myself or anyone else. And then it came to me, hit me out of the blue. That expression was familiar, but out of context. It was the look of a person who was the only one that had not been invited to the party. The party is Masonry, and it's been raging on for hundreds of years. Here you are listening in on Masonic effects, more mature, but somewhere in the recesses of your mind, still expecting the invitation. Well, your invitation has arrived. You've simply been trying to accommodate with the rules of being a good Mason. Nothing wrong with that, except Masonry, as you know, is discovery. Discovery of ideas and insights that are inspiring. If you want them, prove it. Show your enthusiasm is mature and real. You can't do that by holding back. No, I'm not talking about everybody in the world being defined as inadequate if you're not gregarious. No. Be yourself. Ask the questions out loud. Teach yourself patience by being patient. If you find yourself being self-conscious, start off in a smaller group and listen. And listen more. When you hear a presentation, ask the question, why is it important to me? And what difference does it make to me? No need to be snobbish. Walk in telling yourself you're there to learn. Look beyond the loud one. Look beyond the important one. Look for the one watching and listening, like you. A Mason doesn't find aim in life. Purpose isn't a state of mind, it's discovery. Step by step, willpower, self-discipline, caring for yourself. Thank you. Kenny Burrell. Nice tune. Very, very nice tune. This is the portion of the show that allows us to turn to poetry. And for today's program, I'm wanting to, if you haven't, I'm going to introduce you to quite an interesting source of information. It's called the Masonic Philosophical Society. Just stunning. It's just brilliant. It's everything that a person like me could expect or could want. This is from a comment. This is from an article by Christine Wilson Slack that was she wrote in 2018. And poetry, this is titled Masonic Poetry. And it got my attention because I don't usually see things like this written. Poetry is literary work in which special intensity is given to the expression of feelings and ideas by the use of distinctive style and rhythm. Poems collectively or as a genre of literature. Poetry tends to be those written works which are short in phrase or sentence and long on emotion, wanting to evoke sympathy or empathy to the reader. Poetry may take stiff rhythmic inflection, or it may be flowing, more akin to prose, from Auden to Shakespeare to Solomon. Poetry has struck a chord in human consciousness for thousands of years, and its popularity has not waned in modernity. Poetry in a modern mindset may not feel very relevant. We have, literature-wise, moved from very constructed and structured forms of poetry to the latter 20th and early 21st century use of exploded syntax, compound words, and disjointed phrasing. Modern poetry uses the impact of singular language to convey emotions based on the listener's personal experience. While this is true of all poetry, the poetry of the 18th, 19th, and early 20th centuries were far more lyrical and visual, wrapping the listener into not only the emotional impact of words, but drawing them into a mindset where those emotions were relevant. And the author goes on to quote W.H. Auden. Victor was a little baby. Into this world he came. His father took him on his knee and said, "Don't dishonor the family name." Victor looked up at his father, looked up with big round eyes. "Victor, my only son, don't you ever tell lies." It's a very rigid structure, true to Auden's voice and style. And while it does evoke very specific emotions, it does so in the context of a very visual story. So I'm going to use, I like the fact that this writer has curated Masonic within the fraternity. These names just leap off the page. Robert Burns, Joseph Fort Newton, Manly Palmer Hall, Carl H. Cloudy, Mark Twain, Rudyard Kipling, Jonathan Swift, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Benjamin Franklin, Sir Walter Scott, Oscar Wilde, and Alexander Pope. Very few of these authors wrote directly about Freemasonry, and even fewer were poets. In reading some Masonic poems, it's clear that while there is form and structure, there are varying degrees of illustration. Today, I want to introduce you to a poet that may not be known to many, Friedrich von Schiller. Schiller was thoroughly acquainted with the technique of the stage, which he had learned firsthand from early glimpses of the stage world at Ludwigsburg to his associations with Goethe in the direction of theater at Weimar, supplementing this with a student's reading of the best dramatic literature of the world, and inspired and directed to give dramatic life and movement to the ideals that haunt a lofty vision. To Schiller, easily belongs Germany's dramatic laurels. Not yet are the lovers of the abiding ideal in tragedy ready to acknowledge his superior, despite a momentary wavering through the phenomenal but merited success of one of the recent dramatists. In the drama, Schiller takes the place that Goethe does in the lyric. Idealistic in spirit, both have the objective attitude of the artist. With Goethe, this was innate. It was acquired with Schiller. The mature artistic attitude of Schiller may be judged from the following lines to Goethe. "It is within my power to animate a given definite limited material, to warm it and make it flow, so to speak, while the objectiveness of such a subject bridles my fancy and checks my whims. Real art is of no concern with temporary illusion, but it is its province to idealize life and thereby lift man in his loving contemplation of it. To the active resolve of exercising his innate sovereign freedom and of ridding himself of the dross and stay strings of actual life. Thus art builds not upon or with the appearance of truth, but rears its ideal structure upon truth itself." In pointing to the value which the study of Schiller has for us, it's not to say that we do not have in our days people of letters and of action imbued with the high idealism and lofty purpose. Here, this is his work honor to women. And I'd like you to, as you're hearing it, whether it's the first time like it is for me, what can you extract from it? And is the author true to his intent? Honor to women, to her it is given to garden the earth with roses of heaven. All blessed she linketh the loves in her choir, in the veil of the graces her beauty concealing. She tends on each altar that's hallowed to feeling, and keeps ever living the fire. From the bounds of truth careering, man's strong spirit wildly sweeps, with each hasty impulse veering down to passion's troubled deeps. And his heart, contented never, grieves to grapple with the far, chasing his own dream forever on through many a distant star. But woman, with looks that can charm and enchain, lureth back to her beck the wild truant again, by the spell of her presence beguiled in the home of the mother her modest abode, and modest the manners of nature bestowed on nature's most exquisite child. Then worn but fiercely breasting foe to foe the angry strife, man, the wild one, never resting, roams along the troubled life. With he planeth, still pursuing vainly as the hydra bleeds, crest the severing crest renewing, wish to withered wish succeeds. But woman at peace with all being reposes, and seeks from the moment to gather the roses whose sweets to her culture belong. Richer than he, though his soul reigneth o'er the mighty dominion of genius and lore and the infinite circle of song, man's dominion, war and labor, might be right, the statute gave. Laws are in the Scythian's saber, where the Mede reigned, see the slave. Peace and meekness grimly routing, prowls the warlust, rude and wild, erst rages, hoarsely shouting, while the vanished graces smiled. But woman, the soft one, persuasively prayeth, of the life that she charmeth, the scepter she swayeth. She lulls as she looks from above, the discord whose bell for its victims is gaping, and blending a while the forever escaping whispers hate to the image of love. Doesn't take long for some ideas just to prove themselves. You know, that notion that music is the literature of the heart, and it commences where speech ends. So listen, Kenny Barron Trio, just there it is. Don't, please, don't be assuming that I'm here to throw mud against a wall and expect you to do anything with it. If some of what is presented here is useful, then I've served a purpose. The whole program has. But I would prefer if your discerning attention, not with umbrage, not on the edge of your seat, but when you're being persuaded by somebody, and somebody's very powerful or articulate or convincing, we can be persuaded to agree with just about anything. But I've noticed that if we take 2 or 3 days, when you're at home and you're sitting back relaxed, or you're playing with your pet, or you're doing some chore around the place, the more accurate impressions come to the surface, where you begin to realize, I was persuaded, but I don't really, I have a separate opinion. It's your separate opinion that matters greatly to me. Take your time. We want to bring these ideas to you when you're relaxed, not under the gaze of a room, but when you're within your own mindset. I guess I'd like to flatter myself that in some ways this brief time is meditative for some of you. And I'd like to extend that notion to all that tune in. Somehow it penetrates and satisfies at the same time. Freemasonry, we may have reframed it and attempted to make it into something familiar to us, something that we bring forward from our own experience. And I think that's, it gets around to the notion of intellect. Huh? Are we limited by our own experience? Or can you benefit from the experience of other people? Well, that means, how do we communicate those experiences? Well, we need a language. And then it raises questions, instead of assumptions. In the 50s, we were walking around measuring the intelligence of children and had no idea what it meant. We made assumptions, but they were proven quite invalid. In the 30s, we had experiments in genius. We could take a child and create genius. Well, you can, how that was fitting into earlier discussions about euthanasia, eugenics. Oh, let's we had all kinds of proofs. Here's the little kid that could do remarkable mathematics, and when we watched them as adults, poof, the genius of childhood doesn't necessarily round out to happiness. I can attest to that. That's not an opinion. That is a fact. Wealth, certainly not. Power, as much as a person can perceive themselves in power. But there's some inalienable truths. Humility, something about humility and understanding your human nature that is more a source of happiness than I can imagine, than you can imagine. More, certainly more than the boyish impulse, serve my immediate gratification, and that's what happiness is. Well, Masonry is something else. Although I have no desire to try and rehabilitate people or their thinking, none whatsoever. I am certainly not the judge of that. People are free to go about their business. They don't have to. Nobody has to look at the prophecies of Freemasonry or the fundamentals, the philosophical underpinnings. Nobody has to. Would be somehow destructive of our ideals to think that we would have an enforced ideology. This is about opportunity, and I hope when you are thinking about development, somehow some loose definition of growth will be in mind. Is for some serious when you begin to take life seriously, a moment that gives you aim, and then. From aim, we have inspiration. What is wrong with how do we address the apathy? Well, the apathy that we see around, whether in lodge or outside, is something that's already known to us. We can't get to this age pretending that we're just silly bugger. Nobody gets to this age. We already know. Oh, how dare me. Yeah, I know. We know. The order has little secrets that some of them salacious, some of them that, our critics will find fanciful, and they always have. Flat Earth Society is still out there. If fantasy worked, I still want to be a 6'8" power forward for Chicago Bulls. Please, if your fantasies and your myths are as legitimate, I want mine too. It's never going to happen, is it? For here, Jacob, sometimes, Jesus, startlingly intense historian. For its devotees, she shares, Freemasonry became the cult of enlightenment. Yes, she used the four-letter word, presenting a set of distinctive values by which men and some women might now organize their lives. What became cultic for some educated and idealistic men by the middle of the 18th century had roots, probably no less intensely felt and the experience of working men. 18th century Freemasonry evolved out of the Scottish and English guilds of 17th century stonemasons. That evolution, to this day, only partially understood, makes for a fascinating story, well worth telling. However briefly, and illustrating here that the example of one Scottish Lodge makes. The Lodge in Dundee, Scotland, experienced the transformation from a guild or a lodge of working men, operatives, as they were called in Masonic literature, to a private society of free and accepted Masons within a few decades. From roughly 1700 to 1730, these decades coincide with the consolidation of Parliament's power to govern the nation after 1707, both England and Scotland, and with the ascendancy of the Whig Party as keeper of the revolutionary heritage created in 1688-89. They also coincide with the decline of the real economic power of the craft guilds. And as we shall see, the political transformations work their way into actual practices, as well as into the ideals found in the constitutions of the new Masonic lodges. That document, in its turn, glorified the practices of British constitutional government and also condemned the restrictive economic practices of the old guilds. The next time we get together, British origins, the Constitution, and civil society. What bearing does it have with where you are? By some degree, I presume that you're living in a place that has some element of rule, some element of culture, and certainly some history. The puzzlement might be, why is it all important? Well, I remember, and you do too, the sort of wall-eyed boy sitting in class pouting, saying, why should I study biology? I'm never going to use it. Why should I study? And then fill in the blank. Why should I study English literature? Why should I study French? Why should I study geometry? Physics, I'm never going to use that. And what did you say? What did you say? Did you sit doubtfully that we sat and said, you know, it's like saying that the only expression of the only knowledge that you need is one that's going to lead to some profit. No, well, you can be quite happy being a shepherd. You can be quite happy. But the complexity of it, and anybody that's ever looked down their nose at a farmer, I'm not talking about somebody that's using that as leverage, as if there's some, you know, that nativistic stuff, you know, that somehow there's a purity in that. No, no, I'm done with that. But to think that they doesn't require some intellectual capability would be far mistaken. What we learn through education is respect. Respect for different perspectives. Why is this important? Well, that's a good question. How do you, before you find, it's easy to find reasons why it isn't, isn't it? When you think about it, as I put that out there to you, first thing that came to mind was reasons why it's not important. Ouch. Because something about our nature makes it easier to find reason not to. Maybe we could say and rationalize that it's some caution that has to do with our primitive development, danger in the jungle, and we needed to be more cautious, and the more cautious of us thrived. But I doubt that. I don't think we need a rationalization. It helps us in some ways to understand more about ourselves. Am I saying that everybody needs to do that? I would think in one way everybody should do it, but do they need to? No. And the people that are living short lives and seem incredibly unhappy, they're mocking all of this, making light of it, they seem to be on a path that is unassailable. Except there are people that don't share that belief, that feel that they want their children to learn, to grow, to thrive, that will take, will appreciate the advances of chemistry and biology, and will accept the new science, the new medicines, the new breakthroughs, the new understanding, without giving a second thought that with everybody, with those boys that were trying to convince me that all of this was meaningless to them, I often have begun to wonder which one of them had the potential to be a sculptor or a poet or a mathematician. If only they had the opportunity to achieve, if only they were inspired and they had that aim to better themselves. Oh, is that saying that self-exploration is better? Well, yeah, it's called insight. And the end of that, is that about being right and being on top? No, far from it, far from it. Hard. Here. A little more of the language that goes beyond. Well, wherever you are, I hope that you are in a good frame of mind, that you're taking care of yourself and the people around you that you care about, and that we've been able to make a contribution today. And if you tune in next week, I'll be enormously happy, of course. Commit those acts of random Masonic kindness, and you might want to include yourself in that. Huh? See you next time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.